You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
We're pleased to announce that this episode of the Spurs Show podcast is sponsored by Greene King Sport, where football is more than a game. Greene King Sport venues are showing every single televised Spurs fixture over the 23-24 season. And with more than 900 sports pubs across the UK, it doesn't matter where you're based, you can catch every single minute of the action. If you download the Greene King Sport app, you won't just get 10% off all drinks any time there's any match on the telly. But this month, there's also 1,000 pints of free Guinness to be won. And the chance to win one of six holidays. Greene King Sport. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls around the world, Spurs fans around the world, I'd like to thank you all for listening to another Spurs show. And this one's a special one because we're live at the Albany in London's glamorous West End. Yay! Great turnout tonight. And the reason for that is we've got a very special guest that we'll be recording with a little bit later on. Peter Taylor is in the house. Yay!
Peter Taylor on the wing.
And before that, we're going to do our regular Spurs show. And joining me, two heavyweight guests on my left, Mr. Martin Lipton is back. Hi, Martin.
Pleasure to be here as ever.
And to my right, from haters, Jerry Cox. Hello, Jerry.
Thank you, Theo. Thank you for having me on again.
Great to see you both. Now, this is a strange point in our season, as everyone knows, because we're in the middle of a kind of hiatus on account of we're out of the bloody cup, aren't we? So we have had nothing. I think that's the main reason. Actually, that's not the main reason. The main reason is we were supposed to play Chelsea last weekend, but instead we had the great joy of watching them lose to a bunch of children in the in the Carabao Cup. A very enjoyable game that was. But what that allows us to do, because we've had this hiatus, is to take stock on this quite exciting season. This what we hope is the dawn of a new era. We're poised in fifth place in the table. We still think fifth place might be enough to get into the Champions League. But to be absolutely sure, we'll need to get into fourth. And to get into fourth, the likelihood is now that we need to clamber above Aston Villa, who we play in a couple of weeks' time. So, with all that in mind, Jerry, where do you see us right now? How pleased, how much has this season so far exceeded or not your expectations?
Oh, without doubt, exceeded from the start of the season. We didn't really know what to expect and how quickly they'd adapt to Postecoglou's style. I think we knew he was going to be entertaining, certainly more entertaining than the last two or three. But it's all about how quickly the players would adapt, and a few players coming in. And they've without exception, all surpassed expectations. You know, all the new boys coming in, and the ones who were out on loan, you know, Adogie and Sarr, fantastic. They've really come good. And, you know, in a way, it's mixed feelings, because after that really good start and that, and then that terrible sort of period after the Chelsea game, you sort of think what might have been. And even 2 weeks ago, just before the Wolves game, I was looking, and I went out on a limb in one of the papers I write for, saying they've got a run of winnable games and they could come into Easter, or just after Easter, to face City, Arsenal, Liverpool, right in the mix, you know, and then it's in their hands, you know. And
of course, what of I'm course, thinking now is this is all your fault, because you've done the classic.
Please don't ask me to predict a result this weekend, because I am a kiss of death on this. But I thought winnable games, Wolves at home, Palace at home, and then Palace have a new manager, so the classic new manager bounced about to hit us. West Ham have got Paqueta coming back, who seemed to be
played
the reason night. For their five straight defeats.
Yeah.
So it's sort of, you know, they're not so winnable anymore. But having said that, it's great to be, you know, the optimism and the enthusiasm going to watch Spurs again.
Yeah.
Back
from the
sort of Pochettino era.
Yeah.
It's there again, because they are great to watch, and you feel there's a positivity and a chance of winning something. It's just a little sort of disappointing that if they just got over the line on a couple of those silly little games where they've, you know, the Wolves away, Everton away, those sort of games where they've dropped points in the last minutes, they could be in a really good position now, yeah.
Does it worry you, Martin, that great optimism that we've had, that we've suddenly had this home defeat, that now we've had this break, does this feel like a pivotal moment that it could go either way, that maybe it starts to fall away now? We've seen it in seasons before, haven't we, where we've got to a stage like this and suddenly it all peters out.
Well, there is that possibility, but I think we've got to be more realistic about, A, what we're seeing. So even the worst performances this season, at home at least, were better than pretty much all the best performances in the previous 3 years. So let's not get too down. Even the Wolves game, they deserve to win.
Mm-hmm.
But we could have won. Because you know what? It's football and you're allowed to lose. And if the other team play better than you, you lose.
Yeah.
It's not. Oh, you can win, but you don't necessarily moan if you don't win.
Yeah.
There have been other games when we haven't played so well. We haven't particularly played well, really, since the Chelsea first 20 minutes against Chelsea away. If you actually look at the performances, there's been the odd 45 minutes here or there. Overall, the performances haven't been at the same level. But there's obvious reasons for that. And even though the strength of the team is higher now because of the players who are nominally back, they're not necessarily all back, shall we say.
Yeah, they're still getting up to speed.
Bentancur came back early. Quite an impressive effort to get back.
Yeah.
But you can see that that's taken its toll.
Yeah.
Maddison has not recaptured the form he had at the start of the season.
Yeah.
But don't worry, he will.
Yeah.
We played the last game without two of the most important cogs in the whole wheel, with Udogie and Porro both missing. Now, I think Udogie should be back, hopefully, for the weekend. We don't less certain about Porro and other factors. But it's in Tottenham's hands from here. 12 games to go. If they win 8 of those games, that's 71 points. 71 points pretty much guarantees you most seasons top four. If it doesn't, if you need 74 points, okay, well then beat Villa. You know, that allows Tottenham to lose two of Liverpool, City, Arsenal, for example. Now, I'm not saying they will lose all of those, but, you know, it's not inconceivable they could lose two of those.
Yeah.
But then the other games are winnable. And I think the position the club is in is far better. I think the mood about the everything is so infinitely better than we've seen in recent seasons. And whilst there was frustration the other week, and there was frustration against Everton conceding in the last few minutes, Spurs have picked up more points in injury time than they've lost this season. You always forget the ones from, you know, Sheffield United, they were losing in injury time. The winning goal against Liverpool in injury time. The winning goal against Brighton the other week. The draw at City. 2 points better off in injury time, despite conceding at Everton, losing at Wolves. It happens sometimes. And if you're excited when you win a game or draw a game in stoppage time, you can't get too down if you lose a game or draw a game in stoppage time the other end. It does happen. And overall, 47 points from 26 games is a vastly improved return on where I think most of us would have anticipated on August the 10th when Harry Kane joins Bayern Munich.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that business of losing late and winning late and losing games where you think we should have won that, but then winning games that, if we're honest, we probably didn't necessarily...
The other reason that Spurs have conceded and scored more goals in stoppage time than anybody else is, guess why? Because they've played more stoppage time than anybody else. 344 minutes.
What do you put that down to?
Well, it's the new way of...
No, but why Spurs?
Just because the games, and also there have been some particular incidents in certain of those games with extended...
So it's not to do with Andy?
No, it just happens that they played more minutes in stoppage time than anybody else.
I just wondered if it was to do with the fact that this is probably Tottenham paranoia. When you sit there at home and you play those teams that come and try and spoil the game, the reason why we love that, I think it's great the fact that they're adding all this time on, and the reason is because for years we sat there watching teams, Newcastle spring to mind, but there's loads of them. Burnley or whatever, who come and just try and spoil the game and keep the ball out of play.
Just as a contrast, because I'm very anal when I do these things, Tottenham have played 94 extra minutes of stoppage time than West Ham this season.
Right.
It's a whole game more of stoppage time than West Ham.
I just wonder if that's because teams come deliberately try and waste time against Tottenham and the referee is now adding it on. Whereas West Ham, no one's bothering to waste time against him.
But it's good.
What would be the point?
So these things are, you know, there's always a reason for things and a causal link often. And I don't think we should be too surprised. What is more important is if you've been asked on July 30th, and then were told that Kane would go before the season started, would you accept being fifth on 47 points with 12 games to go? I can't believe there's anyone in this room who would have said, oh, no, actually, I think that's not really good enough. It would be like, yeah, we'll take that.
Mm-hmm.
Would you have, if you then add on, and the fan base has been innovated and excited, mm-hmm. and there's a sense of direction, and there's young players coming in, and we know that there's this incredible crop of talent in the youth ranks who they won't all make it, but if two or three do, then blimey, you're in a good position going forward. And people want to join the club now, and you know that. And you've also bought players who are going to be there for the next 5-6 years, the goalkeeper, the centre half, the left back, etc. I think, yeah, we'll take that and let's see where we are.
I was talking to my Uncle Bonkers earlier, who's a big Liverpool fan, and he was so upset about, you know, Klopp leaving. Still isn't that? I mean, that news has been around for weeks. He's practically in tears.
Yeah.
But, you know, I remembered that Klopp took a while, didn't he, to get them going? I mean, he didn't win a trophy for a couple of years.
No,
did he?
And it takes a while.
Do you remember when we took them to pieces? I think at Wembley.
That was the last win against them until this season.
We absolutely humiliated them, and they were all over the place. That Lovren had to be taken off and all of that stuff. And that was under, you know, that was early Klopp. And you look at Ange and you think where he's got to. He's ahead of schedule if you go by the Klopp schedule.
I'm very happy with where it is. And yeah, individual games you might be frustrated by, but what matters is direction of travel. When you turn up on a Saturday now, when I go, not that I go every game, but when I go, I'm excited.
There's a buzz. Yeah.
Excited. Well, isn't that what it's about?
Yeah, absolutely. And part of that buzz is that when you're watching, I always think now when we watch Spurs, you're either on the edge of your seat because you think you're about to score, or you're on the edge of your seat because you think you're about to concede a goal. I mean, you don't have those vast passages where nothing's happening.
I can't believe anyone doesn't have heart attack and palpitations watching them play out for the back, because I know I do, but that's the way they want to play.
Yeah.
And it's risk-reward, isn't it? And occasionally, like... Right, and you get caught in possession.
Yeah.
But more often than not, if you've got really quality players, you beat that press and suddenly it transforms the game.
Yeah.
Well, let's play like that. That's the way that it is edgy. It is all crikey. Sometimes it's like watching Doctor Who when we were kids, like through your hands. But it's worth it because it's about fun as well. It is only football.
Yeah.
It is just an entertainment. And it's the most exciting and fun and enjoyable of entertainments.
Yeah.
You know, that most of us spend our time doing.
Yeah.
But it's still football.
Yeah.
And it's the same for the players. You know, I speak to them after the games and, you know, especially early on in the season when the, you know, it was all new and everyone was talking about Ange Ball and this style and everything. And to a man, they were all saying, yeah, we love this. You know, this is the style we love to play. You know, being on the ball, being on the front foot. And I do think, as I say, the only, you can take the results out of the, you know, the negative results, you can put those to one side, perhaps. Just a little trend in the last few weeks with those home games, particularly Brighton, Brentford, and then Wolves, where they were going behind. They were starting sluggishly, you know. And he said that after the Wolves game, he said we need to get back
to being on the front foot.
And actually then score an early goal and give the opposition something to think about. Mm. Because that first half against Wolves, they scored and that was it. You knew what they were going to do.
Yeah.
And when they scored,
they're a good team. I like Wolves. But I mean, also, the last few years, they've been very...
And
very
I was talking to their press officer at half-time and I said, your boys look impressive. You know, great on the break. He said, yeah, we love coming to places like this.
I'd have Neto, by the way.
They beat City. They beat Chelsea at Stamford Bridge.
Yeah.
They love coming where they can just sit, suck it up and break. Right. They break as well as anyone in the country.
Absolutely. I tell you, I mean, Neto, again,
yeah.
I really fancy him.
Top class.
He's Wolves is available.
Yeah.
Everyone's going to want him.
That's the reality. Yeah, but there's only so many, you can only go to so many clubs. Yeah. You know, there's only so many people who've got holes.
Yeah.
And where would you want to go? If you're an attacking player who wants to play European football for a big club,
yeah,
then if you go to Liverpool, do you know what you're going to have next season? Mm. You don't. Mm. Do you know what you're going to get at United next season? You don't. Do you know what you're going to get at Chelsea? Well, you're not going to get European football for starters. You don't.
Well,
you know, so...
yeah. You know, so you really only look at Man City. If Man City don't fancy it, where are you going to go? You're going to go to Tottenham. Yeah.
Spurs or Arsenal. Now, suddenly, there's other clubs who... I really like Villa this season. Genuinely impressed with them.
Yeah.
But they haven't got the same cachet as Tottenham. Mm-hmm. They haven't got London, all of that. So, you know, the whole parameters of the debate have been altered over the last few months.
Yeah, and that's one of those areas where we can... Well, you can always improve any area of a team. You're unlikely to have the best player in the world in every position, obviously. But in those attacking wide positions, you do feel like... I mean, Werner's been a bit of a stopgap. Some people like him. I'm not that convinced about him. But
he's not been there long enough to make a full judgment, I don't think.
No, maybe not. But he's not staying. We know that. Johnson's still young and you still got to give him time, I feel.
I like him, though.
I do like him. I think he's potentially excellent. But, I mean, he's not excellent yet. Kulu isn't really progressing, I don't think. I like him again, but I don't think he's getting any... I don't think he's getting better. He had a good purple patch, didn't he, around Christmas time?
Yeah, but no one works as hard as him on the pitch in the whole of the Premier League, do they? Yeah. So sometimes you need someone who just do that. I think, you know, sometimes it's having that attacker who's willing to help out, particularly if Porro drifts into midfield, someone who just... get back and fill that.
Yeah.
You know, and look,
he's been asked to play in different positions as well.
We play narrow. We risk being done out wide because of the way we play. Mm. That's the gamble he takes.
Yeah.
And I'm willing to take that gamble. Occasionally, you'll get found out doing that.
Mm.
Okay. But if it gives you more chance of winning, then you take it. You know, if you will occasionally fall off the tightrope. But if you've got good balance, you'll get to the other end. And that's what we want to do, is to get to the other end.
Yeah, yeah. Does it worry you, Jerry, that Ange has done so well? Before he turned up in the Premier League, he still seemed like a bit of a quirky, novelty sort of a manager. He'd only done it in, let's be honest, lesser leagues. He's proven quickly that he can hold his own at the very least in this. Mm-hmm. Does it worry you that he will be coveted by other big clubs that might be looking for managers?
Well, yes... yes on one hand and no on the other, because I think he's the sort of, you know, demands loyalty, and I think he'll show loyalty. I think he's just that sort of guy, you know, he's a proper bloke, isn't he? And I don't think he's the sort of let's say Marco Silva or someone who'd make all the promises and then walk away 5 minutes later. I think he's in there for the long haul. You know, this thing about him being a Liverpool fan, I think that's, you know, I mean, everyone can point to they were fans of such and such a club as a kid, you know. But it's when it comes to what the project he's got, you know, it's a modern word, is it, project? But what he's doing at Spurs and the way he's transformed it, and he can feel the love of the fans, you know, he'd be foolish to think there's a better place to go.
Look, I don't think he's the next Liverpool manager.
No. I don't think he is.
I think he's a candidate to be the next Manchester City manager, except he won't want to manage in League Two, which is where I suspect Manchester City are going.
Whoa, you heard it here first.
If they're found guilty, they will be relegated, without any question.
But when are we going to know that?
End of next season.
Yeah, it's a long time away.
But Guardiola's here next season.
So that's then, when the job comes up. Yeah. And it'll be a second. It'll be a.
And there won't be. Arteta will be their first choice as well.
Yeah. You would think so. Anyway. Unless he goes to Barcelona.
Unless it goes tits up at Arsenal before then. Who knows, you know.
I think we can only hope.
I'd
be really surprised if Ange isn't in it for the long haul at Spurs. It suits him. It's the perfect sort of club. And he's fitted in straight away.
Yeah.
You know, I wouldn't see any sort of concern there.
Yeah, I mean, the only thing that makes you slightly concerned is that every single manager we've ever had, good, bad and indifferent, has always ended up in some way, their relationship with the hierarchy has deteriorated, hasn't it? If you think of people like Martin Jol, who was good, Harry Redknapp, who was good, Pochettino, who was good, in the end, it does turn sour. So I guess it's whether they can keep him content.
Yeah, well, I think, you know, you're talking 3 to 5 years when it starts to turn. Mm. And, you know, there's this old maxim in coaching that after 5 years, you either change the coach or you change the squad.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And I mean, they've refreshed the squad as much as you could do, really, realistically. And it's a very young squad and all that.
Yeah.
You'd want to keep, you know, even if you're not that happy with the way things are going and it wouldn't be the situation now, would you want to change the coach halfway, you know, soon into it? So I think, you know, it's like everything. Pochettino was talking about this last week. He really is under pressure.
Yeah.
But he's saying, you've got to have time. He said the same thing about Klopp. You know, it took him 3-4 years to win anything.
Yeah, yeah.
The other thing, of course, is financially the dynamic at Tottenham is completely transformed.
Yeah.
So, and I'm a geek and I'm quite anal when I look at numbers. I don't do shirts anymore. I do suits and I don't do team sheets, I do spreadsheets because that's my role now.
Mm.
Tottenham have an income this year of 500 million. Not last year, 500 million. They have a wages to revenue ratio of 46%, the lowest of any major club in the world. We have a situation where you can spend, as of 2 years' time, 70% of revenue on wages.
Mm-hmm.
Spurs have got the leeway to spend more than anybody else in the world if they want to. Now, I'm not saying they're going to spend all of that, but they aren't under pressure financially in the way that they have. You know, the income stream from the stadium pays off the stadium. Stadium debt is 18 million a year. They make 120 million in the stadium.
Is that only 18 million a year?
Yes, yeah, so that's the stadium. That's the interest.
That's like nothing.
Yeah. So only two clubs earned more from gate revenue last year than Tottenham, which were Barcelona and PSG. Now, PSG do it on 40,000 crowds, so you can imagine you're paying 130 quid a pop there because it's otherwise not possible.
Yeah.
This year it'll be different because obviously Barcelona have got Mickey Mouse Stadium for a year.
Right.
But Spurs will be.
And also next year, Paris won't have Messi or Mbappe, will they? Yeah. They won't be the biggest ticket.
No. Spurs are, I mean, because of this income stream, they're incredible. Their revenue. So at the moment, they're just above Chelsea in revenue. The gap between Tottenham and Chelsea next year will be, I suspect... No, sorry, this, for... Yeah, but within 2 years, because if Spurs are in Champions League next year and Chelsea aren't, the revenue gap between Tottenham and Chelsea will be over 100 million.
Love it.
You know, it's transformative. Yeah. And for all the issues about the stadium, and it definitely impacted on spending from 2019 to 2021. There's no question about that. Sometimes you have to go through pain short-term for long-term gain, and the long-term gain is going to be there for the next 20 years.
Yeah.
So we are, as a club, Tottenham are in a better position financially than they've ever been before. Now, it doesn't mean they're going to have the same income levels as United or City or maybe Liverpool, but nobody else is going to go past them.
Mm-hmm.
Going to earn more than Arsenal, and more than Chelsea, and more than Newcastle, and more than Villa. In fact, Tottenham will earn more than the bottom eight clubs between them. That's the difference.
Mm-hmm. Well, on that happy note, let's take a short break.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
For premium content, including a daily news show, ex-player interviews, original documentary series on Spurs, go to patreon.com/Spurs Show and support our show in the process. Spurs Show merchandise is available. Check it out. Be the envy of your friends. Click the link on the description to this podcast. Our monthly London live shows are up and running, as everyone here can see. It's a great time to sign up at season.spursshow.net. And on March the 20th, of course, we have a special evening with Paul Gascoigne at Leicester Square Theatre. So don't miss that one. There are some tickets left, and I think there are now some extra VIP tickets left as well. So there's a link, again, in the description of this podcast. We are massively excited about that, of course. Follow us on Facebook, X, and Instagram. And please leave us a nice review on Apple Podcasts, because that really helps. Next Monday, Mike Lee is here with David Hepworth and Orla Hannan. So that'll be great. Now, gentlemen, let's now concentrate on our next game. Crystal Palace at home, 3 o'clock, another 3 o'clock home game. Unbelievable. It's like the 1980s. It really is.
Could you pay £3 to get in?
Yeah, yeah. 90p into the Paxton. Yeah. But what an absolutely, well, I was going to say it's quite a, I'm desperate for a bloody game after 2 weeks of no Tottenham, but it, like you said earlier, Jerry, this game suddenly looks a lot harder than it might have done. I mean, partly because of the new manager bounce. They got a great result the other day against, who was it they thrashed?
Burnley.
Yeah. And they, I don't know what their injury situation is, but of course they look like a...
They're all out. All
yeah.
the ones.
Oh, thank God. Well, there's nothing to talk about then, because I always think that team, you know, this season, those three players are top class. Elise, Eze and Gay at the back. Top class. I mean, Gay could be first choice, couldn't he, alongside Stones?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
In the Euros. And Eze, you'd love either or both of them at Tottenham, wouldn't you, Eze and Elise?
They're good players.
Excellent players. So, but having said all of that, with this new manager, who is very highly rated, people were going, who is he? He was a hot property just very recently. I mean, he was very much linked with the Tottenham job, wasn't he? Because he'd done an amazing job at Frankfurt.
Yeah,
he'd sort of turned them around. They'd done nothing for years, had they? And then they went in Europe, not West Ham out of that, which obviously counts very much in their favour.
And then beat Rangers in the final, didn't they?
Rangers in the final, fair and square. You know, they were a good side. So how worried are you about it, Jerry?
Well, it's definitely a harder game than it would have been without him. You know, with all due respect to Dior Roy, Palace were just going nowhere. They looked very poor, didn't they, really? Mm. And this guy, you know, Glasner has given them a real bounce. You know, one of our reporters was there on Saturday against Burnley. He said they were on the front foot, full of energy, you know, exactly the sort of thing that Spurs need to be, really. This was what Anders talked about. Get on the front foot, get an early goal. Mm. And that's what Palace did. So they'll be all fired up and renewed confidence and everything else, because they've had that result. They've got a new manager. He's got a method, you know, and it's a bit like a Klopp sort of style. You know, it's quite high pressing and high energy. And they'll come with a lot more vigour than they would have done, you know, two or three under Roy, for example. So it's going to be a harder game. And, you know, again, it's probably which Spurs are going to turn up? The one that started the season so well, starting quickly, getting into teams, getting in amongst them, getting goals early? Or is it the team that we've seen the last few weeks where they start a bit slowly, concede, and then it needs a bit of a rally after half-time? And then, you know, I still think we haven't replaced Kane, obviously. But, you know, I know Richarlison scored some goals. He had a great little run. But he's not a natural number nine. He's not a finisher. He doesn't take
half. Is he a natural?
I'm not sure, but he doesn't take half chances. No. You know, he's not a poacher. He's not. There's a lot of opportunities in the box that go begging. I'm not sure what Tottenham's chances to goals ratio is, but I'm guessing it's pretty XG. Wide. Yeah, the XG and so on. So that's still a worry that they don't put away the chances as much as they could be. If it all comes together and they get a good start and they're up for it and they start putting the chances away, then obviously you'd fancy them. I just have that slight nag. You know, even Brentford in a terrible run of form.
Yeah. Brentford played really well, actually.
Yeah, yeah. But they came to Spurs. They were up for it.
Yeah.
It's a derby. You know, it's a London derby. It's a big scalp, isn't it, for those clubs?
Oh, yeah. They always come up.
And they were ahead. Yeah. You know, yeah.
Brentford played well. Bournemouth played well. I mean, everyone
plays well because we give teams a chance, as they say.
I mean, what I think is interesting is that the fact that Palace will go at it means that.
Do you think they'll do that at?
I don't think it's. I think it's,
he only does it one
he's
way.
He's got nothing to lose. They're going to finish comfortably mid-table, come what may.
Right.
So there's in some. Well,
not
way,
if they win. If they lose three or four on the bounce.
Yeah,
now,
but they'll still be okay because Forest and Everton are going to get points deducted by the end of the season. So don't worry about that.
Right.
I mean, it's like it's where it's going. Direction clear
so
from that.
It's like a gimme for some of those other teams down there.
I mean, look, Burnley and Sheffield United are gone.
Yeah.
And it's one from Luton, Forest and Everton.
Yeah.
I'd love Luton to stay up.
Yeah.
Just because. I think they've been brilliant this year, given what they are.
Yeah.
And also, Forest are going to get, I think, at least four, if not 6 points deducted. Mm. Everton, I think, will get 3 points deducted for the second breach.
Yeah.
So Palace are absolutely sorted. They're
they'd have to lose every game,
and even then they'd probably be okay.
Right.
So they just go.
But Glasner did watch the. He came to watch even before he'd taken over.
Yeah, he took over. Watched that game.
He watched the Wolves game.
Right.
So he'll have a game plan in mind, which is exactly what Wolves did, isn't it? Five at the back, you know, set up.
Yeah, but
frustrate.
But I think it'll be more. I think it'll be a bit more aggressive than that.
Yeah, I wonder if
because that's what he wants them to be. Because they've got nothing to lose.
So it could be an amazing game if they come out and really go for it.
We'll find out on
Saturday. We could win 8-5 or something.
Spurs have got
to be... That would be good.
I think, you know, Udogie being in the team will make a difference.
Huge difference.
Because I think he was an obvious miss.
Yeah. What about Porro? Is he back?
I think he's less likely to be back.
Okay. But they were, I mean, you know, after...
You can live without one of them, but living without both, sure, was a massive...
Yeah, it's ripping out a huge...
If you lose one, it's unfortunate. If you lose both, crikey. You know, so...
Yeah.
We'll see. We'll know more about squad on or team on Friday, won't we, when he has his press conference.
Yeah.
And then he makes a decision on who he plays up... What his front three is. I think he'll probably start with Kulusevski, Richarlison and...
Son. Yeah.
The midfield mix is interesting.
Yeah.
Sarr, the one absolutely has to play is Sarr.
Mm.
And then it's, does he play Bissouma or Bentancur? You assume he plays Maddison, even though he's not quite...
Yeah, he's got to play him into fitness and form, hasn't he?
But it's all right, we'll have a go. And if we don't play well enough, we don't deserve to win. Stop moaning about it. It's like, it is football.
Yeah. But I think we'll be one thing I'd be fascinated, and you know, obviously we've got one of the greats in the room tonight, find out from him, but... How do players feel when they've had 2 weeks stewing on a defeat? You know, do they feel more up for it and more ready to go? You know,
is it a motivating factor or a demotivating factor?
That's what you hope, you know, in a way. I mean, every player will tell you if they're going into a 2 week break, they'd love to go in on a winning note. But sometimes there's that sort of, and the worst thing in the world is to go in on the back of defeat.
Yeah.
But does that give you the extra motivation that they really are up for it and they are going to... Because I think that's the absolute key. He said it himself the other day. You've got to go out all guns blazing, put teams away and then make them ask
questions. And on the converse, they've had a bit of a rest. I'm sure he gave them a few days off training and then this week would have been focus. And the message would have been, we have to start.
Yeah.
We're at home. We make the game. We don't let them make the game.
But why has that stopped happening? That's the slightly worrying thing, isn't it? That he hasn't had them coming out the trap.
Sometimes players just... The footballers, aren't they? They're human beings. They're
it
not
was happening
right.
under Conte, wasn't it? And he couldn't explain it. And some, you know, and the players, you'd ask the players and they couldn't really...
But there's a huge difference in that Conte's whole approach, his whole philosophy and it was negative, wasn't it? So they come out and they feel negative state of mind. Whereas Ange, at the beginning of the season, it was such a rush of positivity.
Yeah, but I mean, 2 games ago, we scored in the first 5 minutes at Everton.
It's only a couple of games ago.
Yeah.
You know, it's not as if it's been every game. It was a poor.
It was a home games, I think, more than
But you know, sometimes I think sometimes it's like, how do we adapt to being at home, and what are they going to do? And it's almost perhaps they've just been a bit too watchful of what the Oppo have done.
Yeah.
And thinking, they know what we're going to do. We need to see what they're going to do before we decide what we're going to do.
Right.
And in fact, the best option is to go and do what you're going to do.
Yeah. I mean, I do think you can't underestimate. I mean, we've said it again and again, but having both those fullbacks out, that's such an integral part of the whole plan, isn't it? To have those athletic, strong fullbacks who can get right all over the pitch and cause havoc. If you haven't got that...
No one knows where Adoghi's going to pop up.
Exactly.
I mean, he's been fantastic.
Yeah,
I think
incredible.
Two of the contenders for player of the season.
Totally agree.
Without
doubt. Yeah, amazing. Yeah. Both of them have been amazing. And the team, any team with those two in is vastly improved. And take them both out, and obviously the converse is the case. So,
I mean, what surprised a little bit to me was that he might have considered playing Van de Ven on the left rather than Davis in the last
game.
I'm not saying he was going to, but I just think it was interesting.
Yeah, because then you could have put Ragish in.
You've got that option.
Yeah.
But he knows them better than me.
But has he played much at fullback, Van de Ven? Do we know?
Well, Radishan has also played at fullback. Either of them could play there.
Yeah.
Just if you're going to keep the system. That is not to be dismissive of Davis. Actually, Davis, whenever he plays...
Oh, he never lets you down. He puts you know in a shift.
He's never going to be a nine.
Exactly.
But you're always going to... He's rarely going to be a six. You know, he's always in the middle, isn't he? It's what he is.
And that system needs Van de Ven's speed because you need that recovery player.
Yeah.
And especially if Udogie or Porro aren't playing, when you lose the ball, you know, Romero's not that quick. He's not going to get back. But Van de Ven's recoveries are fantastic.
Incredible,
I mean,
like nothing we've ever seen. In fact, literally the fastest player in the league, isn't he?
Yeah.
23 miles an hour.
Absolutely, there's that famous clip of Ledley King getting back, giving Arjen Robben
which is a
10-yard start and still getting back and tackling him. And Robben's looking around wondering what the hell happened there.
Yeah.
And that was Ledley on one knee sort of thing.
Yeah.
But yeah, Van der Ven's recoveries are sensational.
Yeah, astonishing. And when you think...
So that's why I think, you know, that's why they'd always want to play him in the middle.
Yeah, but it's like what you said earlier. Once all those players... I mean, at the beginning of the season when we were so thrilled by what was going on and we were top of the league... But I think we're top of the league by about 4 points at one.
Well, we beat Palace on a Friday and went 5 points clear.
There you go.
Oh, was that
that's
game?
It.
Yeah. And
so,
they were toying with them at the end, weren't they? I remember Romero, Van de Ven just playing
across the back. And we had all those sensational players.
And inviting them on.
All those sensational players fit.
Yeah.
And match fit. And so we've got most of the sensational players back, but we didn't have them all because, as we said on Wolves, in the Wolves game, we had two crucial ones missing. But like you say, they're all back, but they're not yet fully firing. So who's to say when they are all fully firing... You know, barring other injuries that may come along, but if they do come back and they're all fully firing, we'll probably get up the same sort of head of form that we had at the beginning of the season.
Tottenham's first 11 playing well
can beat anyone.
Is as good a team as there is in the league.
You're
obviously not going to have the first 11 playing well every game, and the issue still is, I think, three or four squad players.
Yeah,
and the drop off is and the go back. 4 months now, the game that sort of signified the drop-off to me was Fulham at home in the league, even though we won 2-0.
Mm.
The last 10 minutes, when he had a few subs on the pitch, and I thought, oh, crikey, there's a big drop-off here. And Fulham could have scored three or four in that 5 minutes.
Yeah.
And therein lies the reality, is at the moment... Yeah. There is a bit of a cliff.
And that work is to be done, we know that, and it will be done, we hope, in the summer, right?
You'd hope so. I mean, they're not... Left back cover, right back cover, who are good enough to go straight in if you lose them.
Yeah,
I think a winger will come in.
Yes,
and look, it may be that they decide the answer is from those. Phillips could become the fourth defender in the rotation.
Yeah,
they might want to start giving Donnelly a chance. The Spanish boy plays for the 21s.
Yeah,
who knows whether they think Lancashire is good enough? I'm not sure.
Alfie Devine's another
Devine who comes back from his loan.
Well,
let's just see.
Yeah.
There may be a decision that actually two or three of these can step up and we don't.
Yeah, I mean, Donnelly.
But also, if there's European football, then that's going to give them an opportunity to play as League Cup and everything else.
Yeah,
play more football.
And we're going to need, and that's a good thing to give them all a run at. But Donnelly does, to me, look, he looks like a real prospect because he's not just full of great skill and flair. He's a big bastard, and he looks like he's got a football brain. Yeah. Him getting booked, I can't remember what game it was.
Brentford game.
Yeah, because he did the right thing. Yeah. He took one for the team. You think, Christ, he's only 18. He knows his way about a Premier League football.
But that's going to be a sin bin in 5 years' time. So
let's not get into that. Listen, before we go, let's do some predictions. That's what we always do. I'm sorry, Jerry. Yeah, there's no point in trying to get out of it because I'm going to have to insist. You go first.
So can I try reverse psychology and what? Because that doesn't work.
Do whatever you like.
Predictive palette. Oh, God, I don't know. I'll go back to my usual close one. 2-1. 2-1. Tottenham.
2-1 Tottenham.
Martin? I always predict draws, as you know.
Right. And surely not this time.
Could be a draw.
Oh, that would be disappointing, wouldn't it? A draw would be disappointing. I think we're going to win big. Once you tell me all those, the three really good players they've got are out, I think we're going to win. I think we'll win 4-1.
We'll have that. Fine. Take that.
I think we'll win 4-1. I was going to say 8-5, but that would be completely unprecedented. Well, Martin and Jerry, for now, thank you very, very much. And everyone here, I can tell you that in five or ten minutes, we will be back with the one and only Peter Taylor. Until then, thanks very much. Kill you, Spurs!
If you want to advertise on or sponsor this show, check us out at playbackmedia.co.uk.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.